new adult in our church. Actually, there's two of them, but there's only one present. Miss Chantel Williams. Hallelujah. Chantel graduated from high school. Amen. And Margaret's daughter graduated, I understand. There's two of them. So they come out of the children's ministry into the adult ministry from now on. Amen. We're so proud of you, beloved. You're going to do God well when you finish up your college and everything. I see a very bright future for Chantel. She's a wonderful woman of God. See, you grew up just like that overnight. We love you so much, right? Amen. So, we've come to the house of the Lord today to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Y'all are in the mood for that, right? Well, if you've got your Bibles, I'll try to take you through some scriptures that's going to build you up in your faith, hopefully today. Now, we're talking about your spirit, and as your spirit soars in Jesus, your flesh will come up and get in agreement with your spirit. And that's what we want to happen to you today. Amen? So you got your Bibles. If you look at Isaiah 54:17, the Bible says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." So as you begin to travel along your pathway of Christianity, you will find many stumbling blocks, many things that the devil will try to bring across your pathway to discourage you, to make you think that you are less than you are. But you are a child of the living God. That makes you His sons and His daughters. When you become a Christian, you are born into a new family. Your earthly family did as much for you as they could, but all things are possible for those that love and know their God. And so your life has to change when you step in to Christianity, but there are many, many changes for the better. And there are areas in the Christian walk that many of us never achieve because we've never been taught of who we are and what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's all because of Him. It's not because we are super intelligent, rich, or that we are somebody. It's because He's somebody. And His being somebody, He takes us into His family and He adopts us. That's what the book of Romans teaches. And whenever a child is adopted, if the parents are good parents, they take that child into their family, and that child becomes precious to them and just as precious to them as the natural children. That child becomes their daughter or their son just as well as their natural daughters and sons. And so whenever Jesus took us into His family, we have inheritances and we have positions that other people in the world do not have. And when we teach on these things to you, it's not to give you this pride. You know, there are a lot of Christians that sit under what the Bible gives to them, and then they walk around superior to the people in the world. And they're so superior, they can't even share Jesus with them. You know what I'm saying. So the weapons that will rise up against you will be from the spirits of the world. The children of the world will become jealous. If you're living your faith and if you're prospering spiritually in Christ and the reflection of His glory is upon your life, people will be jealous of you. And your problem at that point is to understand why they're jealous of you. And don't you rise up in the flesh and lash back at them and treat them the way they've treated you. Because if you do, you'll never ever gain status as a Christian. Because the devil will constantly bring jealous people across your pathway to get you to sin and fall. Amen? So these scriptures say that they will not prosper. That if they rise up and slander your name, if they come against you and do things that are ungodly toward you, whose problem is that? Is that your problem? No, it's their problem. And they have a problem. So as the mature saint of God, you have to learn to treat everyone with love, and you lead them through your actions. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a doormat, that people are always running over you and treating you like you're nobody. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that you have godly reactions to whatever they do to you. And then, as they see you react in a Christian way, they learn. You become a Christian teacher at that point. But not only do they learn, but they see a better way. And they may not come and follow you at that moment, but a little later on they will. When they have a need, you will be the one that comes into their minds because you are the one that reacted differently to their sinful meanness. And when they need prayer or they have a problem, they'll think about you and they'll give you a call. It happens to me all the time. So you walk your life as the king of your inheritance that you are. And you are king over the forces of evil, over the devil. He has no part, no role in your life. And he is not so powerful and not so strong that he can make you do things that your will does not want to do. He has to get in control of your will to lead you into whatever sin that he wants to lead you into. Now, this little principle is a principle that most Christians don't understand. But it starts from the very beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve. You see, he had to get them to agree with him before he could make them fall. And in order to get them to agree with him, he had to make sin look attractive. Now, the devil makes sin look very attractive in our world today. We've got so many gadgets, so many things to entertain our minds with. But in the long run, a lot of times we neglect the things that we ought to do to run after the things that our flesh desires. Amen? Thank you. And so, what Christianity is all about is choices. Choices, should I sin doing this or should I serve God doing that? And when he presented the fruit to Eve, he presented it as something that she couldn't have. Now, I don't know about you, but we're born with that in our hearts, that we want those things we can't have. And some people are willing to do anything in the whole world to get what they can't have. Amen? But the devil will make it seem so beautiful, so innocent, so glossy, so adventurous, so attractive. That's why when you go down to Disney World, everything is like some sort of a fairyland. And you're just looking here and looking there, and you're looking at it through the eyes of adventure and not the eyes of sin. And I remember whenever, before I got saved, I used to take my children down there. We went down there when Disney World was open, in the very beginning, the first day it was open. And you just saw all the glitter and all the fake gold, all the fake diamonds and jewels and all of the excitement. But after I went back down there, after I became a Christian and God opened my eyes to the reality of what was in that place, it is loaded, absolutely loaded with idolatry and sin. Everywhere you turn around, there it shows itself. But most people are just blinded toward it. Now, I remember that one day there was a young man that graduated from high school, and the state of Florida used to open the gates of Disney World to the high school graduates. I don't know if they still do or not. Did they this year? Chantel? You're supposed to go. Okay. But the kids go down there, and it's fun. I mean, you know, I'm not depriving anybody of fun. But it's still a matter of choices. So this little young man went down there, and he was with a little group of Christians, but then there were the secular children. And he got divided away from the Christian children, and got in the group with the secular children. And they all went to the haunted house. And he felt really a prick in his heart. Don't go there. Don't do that. But he was under what the world calls peer pressure. That's a lot of people just like you, your same age, and they're all going like a little school of fish along a pathway. And if you separate yourself from them and just say no, then you feel deprived. And so whenever they wanted him to go into the haunted house, he felt the Lord's conviction, but he couldn't say no. He wasn't strong enough to just say no. And so he went in the haunted house. And so when he came back to Jacksonville, he's a Christian boy, been in church for years. But when he came back, he felt these strong desires to go down to look into homosexuality. Now this young boy, this was his testimony to me. He said, Mrs. Holliday, I gotta tell you, I've never even thought about anything like that in my whole life. He said, but this thought just kept going on in my mind, and I couldn't get rid of it. And it becomes what we as Christians call an obsession. It's something that goes on in the mind, and it keeps on until you become obsessed with the thought. And when you become overcome with the obsession, then the devil can lead you into that particular area of sin. And so he told his girlfriend about it. His girlfriend told him, says, you need to talk to Pastor Pat about this. And he came to me and he told me about it. And he said, Pastor, he said, I have never thought about it. Still don't want to do it, but it goes on in my mind all the time. When I'm sleeping at night, it's in my mind. When I wake up, it's in my mind. And he said, I don't know what to do. And he said, my girlfriend told me that I probably picked up a spirit down in Disney World. Well, you see, during the graduation times that they take the little children down to Disney World, at that same time, they usually have Gay Week. So our children go down and walking all up and down the streets are the gay couples, hand in hand, kissing each other and doing things that gay people do in front of these kids. And so a spirit is over that place. And the spirit that's over that place of homosexuality invades the children's minds. Now, the only reason why this man's mind was invaded was because of this. He had gone and let his Christianity drop to the ground, and he went with the kids, even though God was convicting him not to go into the haunted house. So he said, after I ministered deliverance to him, and it was a spirit, it left instantly. After I ministered to him, he told me, he said, well, when I sat in that seat, he said, there's a green spirit that appears, and it sits right next to you in the seat. And see, all of this is supposedly done with mirrors and things in those rides, but who knows whether it was really a mirror or whether it was a real spirit. But the green spirit sits down and it speaks to him and it says, now I will be your guide. And it takes him through the haunted house of all of these horrors, and there's one place where skeletons are dancing at a ball, another place where they're all sitting around a table, and in the middle of the table there's a human head that's dislocated from its body, spinning around and around, and all sorts of horrible looking things. And the green spirit is like a guide telling you each and everything that you are perceiving as the little cart goes through that exhibit. And he said, then at the very end, he says, the guide speaks to you and says, now I will be your guide and I will be with you forever. And you see the guide in the mirror coming inside of you. So what we would call that in the deliverance ministry is a transference of spirits. It's a spirit that comes inside of you and it becomes your guide for life. Unless you find someone that can cast spirits out, it's there. And this particular thing comes in as a friend, but then it becomes a tyrant. And it is nice to you as long as you do everything it tells you to do. You become enslaved by that evil spirit. And if you rise up to buck that spirit is going to cause you a lot of problems. It will keep you awake at night. You will not be able to do the things that you know to do. You will stop your prayer with the Lord, your worship with the Lord. You will not be able to read your word anymore because demons do not want you to do those things. He or it will come between you and Jesus. And then, from that point, it begins to lead you away from your God. And it will lead you down into some very dark pathways. In the beginning, you still have a realization of right from wrong. And there's just certain things that you won't do, you know, because your will and you've been trained as a Christian, don't do that. But as you begin to slip into darkness and, oh, well, you know, go ahead and have a drink. One drink isn't going to hurt you. Everybody's doing it. Go ahead and do it. And you go ahead and do that. And then the next time it's two drinks, and the next time it's three. And that's the way sin operates in a person. It just keeps going deeper and deeper into the murky waters of sin until all of a sudden one day you wake up and you're doing things that you never thought would be possible for you to do as a human being, because the devil has come in. And the devil, when he comes in, his job is to spiritually blind you and to spiritually take you to hell at the end of your life. And so your standards keep falling and crashing to the ground until one day you wake up and you have no standards anymore. Now, what happens to a person that has walked in the agreement with devils for many years is it's very difficult for them to get free to begin with, because of the fact that their flesh loves sin. And even though they have remembrances of who Jesus is, because they were raised in the church or they knew him before, they have a very weak will because they've never exerted their will in terms of yes and no. And like Adam and Eve, once they gave in, they became sinners. And throughout the generations, people sinned. And the only cure for sin was Jesus Christ, accepting his blood, and then becoming built up on the Holy Ghost and knowing the Word and living for Christ. That's the way you overcome sin. But this weakness, the devil knows about you. And you might hide it from your wife or me or Pastor Dennis or the people in the congregations. And you might think everything's fine, but you know in your heart that you're not right. And you know, if only I could get well. And you can. But you see, the only way that you can get well is you have to do it God's way. You can't make choices about how you're going to get well because you have no power to do it. The only power that you have is your own will to say, yes, yes, I'm going to go to church. Yes, I'm going to make it to the prayer meeting. Yes, I'm going to go to the deliverance classes. You have to make those choices because of the fact nobody can make you come. And if somebody makes you come, it doesn't work anyway. Have you ever noticed that when a wife nags a husband, that it just pushes the husband on over the side of the street, where he's determined to do things that he wouldn't do if she wasn't nagging him? That's the way it is. Once you find out somebody is nagging you to straighten your life out, you just go deeper and deeper in rebellion, because that's what our natures are before we find Christ, right? So what we have to do as Christians, God gave you a will. And your will is stronger than all the devils in the world. Even when you're in sin, your will is stronger. The problem is you have to grab a hold of your will and activate it. And because of the weakness in your life, you might say, well, I just can't activate it. I try. I wanted to go to get deliverance, but something came up. Well, I'll talk to the men because they'll understand probably a little better than the women. When they want to look at a football game or a basketball game, I know because I was married to a man that that's what he did a lot. I used to call it his God of sports. Hell or high waters couldn't keep him away from watching those ball games, you see. But ask him to go to church. Well, no, I can't go. I got a pain in my side. I got this. I got to do that. There's always some other avenue that they got to go down. But see, it's a choice. Just like Eve had that choice. And Eve said yes. And once she said yes, she lost control of her will. She put her will in agreement with the devil and disagreement with God. And she lived her life like that for the rest of her life. And all of us have lived our life like that because of her and her husband. Because they taught us how to sin. But when Jesus brought the salvation message to the world, he told them, he said, I will make a difference for you. He said, I'm the one that can turn it around for you. But you just have to make that choice. And sometimes when people's wills have been beaten down and captured or ensnared by the powers of the devils and they're weak, that's when they have to get the courage up to stand up and just say no, as Nancy Reagan said. And so what you have to do is you have to do spiritual things to overcome spiritual weaknesses. And the spiritual thing would be stand up and say, Jesus, I'm weak. But your word says that when I'm weak, you are made perfect in my weakness. Would you come and help me to be strong so that I can go for deliverance, so that I can go to the prayer meeting, so that I can get to church? When you depend on the power of Christ, when you depend on that power, what's going to happen is he will infuse you with strength that you can say, bless God, I feel an urge to get there and I'm gone, because it's his power that you're running on then. Other things that you can do to gain power from spiritual weakness is to start fasting. Many Christians never think about fasting, but the Bible says in Isaiah 58, fasting breaks the yoke of the devil. So when you have a yoke around you, you've got to break it, right? So you start fasting. Well, you know, I can't fast. Every time I fast, I get a headache. I hear that one a lot. Well, where do you suppose that headache's coming from? Who's giving you that headache? The devil. If that's all it takes to keep you from fasting is to give you a headache, every time you try to fast, you're going to get a headache, right? What you can do, actually, is do what you can do. What you can do is to graduate into full fasting is fast those pleasant things that you like. You like steak? Say, Lord, I haven't been able to fast yet, but I'm going to fast steak for 2 days so that I can gain some spiritual strength. And you do without those steaks 2 days, And then temptation comes again and you say, Lord, I'm going to fast for 4 days. Steaks. And eventually you will get used to exerting your will over that situation of using a spiritual technique to overcome. And then you're stronger. So then you've got just serious type sins that you just haven't been able to get control of. And you say, Lord, you know I'm weak, but you are strong. That's what the Bible says, that you are made strong in my weakness. So tomorrow, I'm going to fast breakfast. And you wake up, and you're so hungry because the devil will make sure you're hungry. You exert your will over that breakfast and say, no, sorry, no, nothing to eat until lunch. And you get to lunch and you go out and you fill your belly more than probably you would have before. But you won because you did without that breakfast. And you do that every day for a week. And then at the end of that week, you're stronger. You're spiritually stronger. You overcame the devil. Because you submitted your life to God, you did a spiritual thing to break the yoke of the devil over your life, and then you go for the lunch. Or if you want to have the lunch, go for the dinner. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to fast breakfast and then dinner. I'll have lunch. Hey, you know what will happen to you? The same thing, the same system. But you'll lose some weight too. Isn't that a good part of it? And so fasting is a part of Christian life because it breaks the yoke of the devil. And it gets you used to exercising your will over your flesh. And that's what it's all about. Just as I started this out telling you the scripture that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What do you think those things are that are working in your life that's happened to you over your life that you're so bogged down with sin? Those are the devil's weapons working in your life. And so what you have to do is to begin to walk in the weapons, the spiritual weapons that God has given to you so that you can overcome those things that the devil so easily takes you over. You see, what I'm trying to show you today is this. Every one of us are God's children. Jesus suffered on the cross for every one of us. Every one of us have that pathway laid out for us. Some of us never are taught or learn how can we get on the pathway of Christian success. What I'm telling you is, God said that the ones that are overcomers, just before He returns, that have their garments without spots or wrinkles, those are the ones that are going to go into the rapture, into the kingdom of God. And so some are saying, but there's no hope for me. Because, you know, I've tried all of this before. And I just can't do it. Yes, you can. See, like Obama said, yes. We can do it. We can do it because of the fact we have the Spirit of the living God in us. All He needs is your will connected to His will and His word, and your will connected to your will and your word, and you'll become an overcoming Christian, and you will be able to do it because your will is the strongest thing in the world. is stronger than all of the devils in the whole world. If it wasn't, you would have never come to this church to begin with. Because the devil doesn't want you in this church. And he did everything to keep you from coming to this church. But you made your will up, I'm going to go see what's going on there. You came. And every time you come through the door, your will says, get up and go to church. And 100,000 demonic wills say, don't go. But when you say, I am going, you make it to church. And when you make it to church, listen to what comes from the pulpit. React to it.